Good Arizona Saturday morning. Thank you for tuning in to Rosie on the House. You are Saturday morning tradition for 29 years. Why don't you walk with me around back here and see what Mr. Jay Harper's working on in the yard this morning. Despite what I thought going to bed last night, my trees did not blow away. They're still all in the ground, and the animals are all still in. We did end up with a loose goat in the middle of the blowing wind last night, but I don't have any blooms left.
Well, yeah, if you had a Palo Verde tree that was really nice and yellow, it's probably not today.
All green.
And if you had a swimming pool,
it's yellow.
You know, you've got a little work to do this morning before you get out and start working in the garden. So it's that time of year when we're still, boy, we're right in the throes of spring planting and thinking about maybe warmer weather ahead, getting a shade tree in the right place at the right time, plant any of those plants that were maybe a little bit frost sensitive. Great time to plant hibiscus and bougainvillea and lantana and all of our desert adapted plants, trees, and shrubs. Still doing a little vegetable gardening. You can be planting some of that a little more heat tolerant things like melons and cucumbers and squash and beans and you know, it's a little late. It's just too late for tomatoes for sure. But in fact, you should be probably starting to pick some tomatoes.
It's going to be May in 2 days.
Yeah, I mean,
or tomorrow. What is it?
I've got a couple that are just starting to color up, so I'm kind of watching those. So should be starting to harvest some tomatoes. So still lots to do in the garden. Boy, I would get out and start checking the irrigation system, make sure it's working properly before it becomes critical. Winter lawns, you probably want to be transitioning to winter lawns. We get a lot of calls this time of year. My lawn's browning. I got a brown spot. And yeah, sure, you sure do. And, you know, it's just that ryegrass is trying to let go. And you want to force it now to go away. You want to mow it short, scalp it if you have to. Try and get that ryegrass burned up so that that underlying dormant Bermuda doesn't stay dormant any longer than it has to. It's wanting to wake up and grow. And if that ryegrass is hovering over it and shading it and crowding it out, it will only stay dormant so long. And then all of a sudden when that ryegrass does die, if we let it go into June or July, you will have no Bermuda grass left there. And we get those calls then about midsummer. My lawn died. Yeah, the lawn that should have died 3 months ago just now died, and now you have no lawn left. So we want to force that out, maybe dethatch, aerate, fertilize, get that Bermuda grass cranked up and growing.
And when you're dethatching, can you over-dethatch?
Yeah, you could. Yeah, you don't want to do too much damage because you are actually damaging the lawn. You're actually getting in there and, you know, and raking heavily and getting down and raking up the old thatch, but you're also cutting through, you know, viable live rhizomes and stolons and maybe even in some cases roots if you go a little bit deep into the soil. And so what we're trying to do is rejuvenate the lawn. So but to rejuvenate, you do have to do a heavy pruning, whether it's a shrub or a tree or in this case a lawn. And so that's why we wait until it's actively starting to grow to do it. So in early May, it's a great time to kind of get in and rake out all that ryegrass that we want to get rid of and thin it out and open the canopy up so sun and air and water can get down to that the roots of the Bermuda. But we're also getting rid of the old thatch and you know for the Bermuda and also pruning it so it will respond and regrow and come in nice and thick and lush. So if you do too much, you could open it up and open up the opportunity for weeds and different things to grow in those open patches. So yeah, you don't want to have it bare, look like bare dirt when you're done. It should just look like you've gone in with a really good rake and gotten in there and raked out the stuff, and should look kind of thin and a little bit sparse, but it shouldn't look bare.
Now, when I first started taking care of the lawn, there was no lawn there.
Mm-hmm.
There was a sprinkler system that was left, and you could tell the water hadn't run on it in a while. Well, you could see the sprinkler heads were even with the dirt.
Okay.
Now, I have to dig to find the sprinkler head.
Okay.
Is that growth up and up and up ever going to – do I have to start raising the sprinkler heads? Because a few of them now, when they pop up,
yep.
Or do I take the grass down?
Well, yes, you have the option. You know, so it might be in your case, if you know, since there was no lawn there, the sprinkler heads might have been set just a little low now that you have a decent lawn. And some thatch is good. We have to have, you know, some thatch to have a healthy lawn. So as the lawn builds up, you know, it's going to cause the, you know, maybe the turf to block the spray of the sprinkler heads in some cases. You might be able to correct that by mowing, scalping it down, and then keeping it mowed shorter. But actually, a good way to conserve water is not to mow your lawn too terribly short. So if the lawn is a little bit longer, it's shading the ground and keeping the ground from drying out so quick. So there's kind of a happy medium there. So in some cases, you may need to raise the head up just a little bit. You know, not so much that you're going to cut it with the mower, but enough that it clears, you know, the grass and you don't. Because a lot of times we see brown patches or hot, what we call a hot spot in a lawn, it's because the, you know, the grass is blocking the spray of that sprinkler head. But this is a great time, just like we do in the fall when we overseed, we scalp the lawn down a little bit. That's a great way to get rid of that ryegrass, is to just take it down, scalp it, then kind of evaluate the length or the height of your sprinkler heads and go from there. Now, if it seems like you just can't keep it cut short enough to keep them from blocking the spray, there may be an opportunity there to raise a head or two.
We are a call-in radio program. If you have a question, it's 1-888-767-4348. That's 1-888-ROSIE-4U. With modern technology, we also have texting now, 411-923. Or you have a bug or a plant you're trying to identify, you can email a picture to info@rosieonthehouse.com, or on our contact forms, there is an option there to upload an image. So we've got our lawns covered. What if we are going to finally give up? We're done with the lawn, going water conservation, and we need to get rid of it. Can I just let that ryegrass choke out that Bermuda as long as I can, keep it going, and then scrape it all out once it finally dies off?
Well, Bermuda grass is a pretty tough thing, and you can quit watering it and think you've killed it, and cover it over with rock or landscape material or mulch or whatever you're going to do, and then all of a sudden we get a monsoon rain or two or a little water. And in some cases, if we're doing a xeriscape, we go in and plant some trees and shrubs in what was the lawn, and we put a dripper there, and we start watering around that plant, and boom, in about 30 days, we've got a nice little patch of Bermuda grass growing. The best way to eradicate Bermuda grass is to wait until about now, when it's starting to grow rapidly. The hotter it gets, the better it will grow. Water it. Even fertilizing it is a great idea. Get that Bermuda grass growing good and then spray it. Roundup really is the only thing. If you're trying to get rid of a lawn to do a xeriscape, you really need to use glyphosate. Roundup. Monsanto had the patent on that, or trademark, for a long time. You can buy it in other brands now, but glyphosate is the systemic herbicide that will kill Bermuda grass roots and all. And it's really the only thing that will work permanently if you're trying to do a conversion from a lawn to a xeriscape type project. So don't just quit watering it and think you've got it killed, because you don't.
Bermuda hangs on.
It's notorious for, you know, you think you've gotten rid of it and you just get a little water here and there. I've seen old abandoned houses, vacant houses, people come in, they buy them. What should I do? I said, just start watering a little bit, see what happens.
We had a caller this week at the office, and she had gone from the Bermuda to the gravel and had it sprayed and everything, and she was really frustrated because the Bermuda is still coming back. I said, well, it takes more than a season, right? And the roots are deep, right?
Well, it not necessarily. If you will really get it nice and watered and get it growing good, you can kill it in a couple, 3 weeks, maybe a month. You can have 99.9% of it dead. You may not have 100%. The mistake people make is, though, they don't, you know, they take an old stressed out lawn that wasn't growing very well, and, you know, then maybe they spray that and they think they've killed it all. But if there's no foliage there growing and there's just some roots underground, as soon as they get a little water, and that's usually what happens, is we plant some plants and this was once a turf area, now it's a landscaped area. And we put drip irrigation to it, and we start watering, and those roots get watered, and they start growing grass. Mm. That's why it's really important to actually, I tell people, I said, pretend you want to have the nicest lawn you've ever had. and then spray it.
It has to be photosynthesizing to take
That's
the
correct.
Herbicide.
The active ingredient reacts, you know, with the chlorophyll. So the greener and more chlorophyll and more photosynthesis that's going on, the better that
the deeper
herbicide
the,
works.
The farther down the roots it gets to kill. There's, you know, you put it on a dormant lawn, you're shooting a dead horse. It's already dead.
Right.
It's not taking anything in. So.
Right.
Green it up, then kill it.
Exactly.
How often do you see somebody, all right, I'm going to do it, and they finally get it green, think, oh, you know what? Gosh, this is so nice. I can't kill it now.
And plastic won't work. Ground cover cloths won't work. None of that stuff will really keep Bermuda. I mean, Bermuda grass will grow up through a concrete slab, a crack in a concrete slab.
That
so,
plastic ain't going to do nothing.
No, it just makes a mess later on when the gravel or the rock kind of starts decomposing and the plastic rips and you've got torn stuff up through the middle of your nice rock landscape. It's just not a good alternative.
At good old Bermuda grass. What's going on today? I know the first Saturday of the month y'all have hot dogs and horticulture, but this is the last Saturday and there's something
Yeah, we have the Sun Country Iris Society is at our location there on Hayden Road just south of Thomas. They have an exhibit. So if you want to see how beautiful iris can be and see what you might be able to do, whether you're a collector. And a lot of people collect varieties of iris. There's just hundreds and hundreds of different colors and combinations and varieties. So you can see some neat stuff, maybe find some varieties. They have a sale going on. You'll find some varieties that maybe you don't have or you've been looking for. It'd be a great time to do it from 9 to 2 today at our location on Hayden Road just south of Thomas. That's the Sun Country Iris Society. They do this a couple times a year. They do one in the fall and in the spring.